There are many experts who believe medical errors are now the third leading cause of death in the United States, behind cancer and heart disease. How and why is this happening? Who is to blame? How do we fix it? For decades, Dr. Ira Williams has been hounding the five federal agencies created to solve the health care crisis in this country. With over 130 years collectively between those agencies, our health care system is still a mess, and medical errors leading to deaths in hospitals continue to rise. As the oldest medical malpractice expert in the country, Dr. Williams knows what he is talking about. He's developed a system to empower local grassroots activists in each state to radically change our health care delivery system. Organizing statewide grassroots activists to challenge the current system is the only way to win, says Dr. Williams. And we're going to be talking to him about his books and his mission. And so let's get started. Dr. Williams, Ira, how you doing?
Doing good. And how are you, Wynn?
I'm doing really good today. Okay, so let's give them an overview of what the problem is like. Everybody that's listening to this program today knows that there is an issue with opioid overdoses and deaths. And I think the figure that's been thrown around recently is 72,000 opioid narcotic deaths last year.
But, 2017, yeah.
Yeah, 17, okay. But you have a figure in 1990 that there were 98,000 compared to 72,000 needless hospital deaths. And you said every new needless hospital death estimate has been greater than all the previous estimates for the past 28 years. So it's getting worse
since 1990.
Since 1990.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, when people have to understand, to get that 98,000 figure, there was a group of Harvard School of Public Health experts led by two doctors who spent 4 years in upstate hospitals looking at medical records to come up with that 1990 figure. And even one of those two co-leaders said he thought that number was smaller than it should have been.
And what you're saying is that...
And yet no one blinks an eye. They said that's equivalent to a fully loaded 747 crashing and killing everyone on board each day, every day for a year, that 98,000 figure.
Well, I know if that happened, Ira, that the public would be up in arms and
would
be done about it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't take a year.
Let me give you two fundamental things that people first need to understand about, you know, the word healthcare. When they hear it, I want to expand their understanding. The first thing they need to understand is our healthcare system is basically two different aspects. The first one, everybody talks about how to pay for it, Obamacare, Romney Care. But assume you had a perfect solution for that. When you get sick or injured, you enter the delivery system. That's my area of expertise, and that is a state responsibility. Each state is responsible to create and maintain an effective health care delivery system, and no state has ever even attempted to fulfill that responsibility. But let me give you three fundamental facts why it's a state responsibility. And the first two facts I consider joined at the hip. First fact, all medical care is local. You get sick and injured where you live, you're going to get local medical care. If you get sick and injured in one of the other 49, all medical care is local. Second fact, states license doctors. together, I don't know how you can come up with any other conclusion, but there's a third supporting fact. All 50 state medical examining boards, each one's over 100 years old. South Carolina, where I live, their board was created in the 1880s. And each board has a mission statement containing the phrase to regulate the practice of medicine. Yet they're saying medical errors are the third leading cause of death behind heart disease and cancer. So it doesn't look like, you know, our current system is working too well. And I know why it's broken and why how to begin to fix it at the state level.
Okay, why is it broken?
Well, again, next thing, let me tell you this. When you talked about the experts who think medical errors are the third leading cause of death, there is an enormous army of quality of care experts, including those five federal agencies you mentioned. But the problem is they're like in a vacuum. If you talk to people on the street, they've never heard of these people. But they have some, their top experts are not just nationally known, they're internationally known. And I have sent my book, Find the Black Box, to several of them after they said they would accept a copy. And they never get back to me because I think my book scares the hell out of them. Because I am, in spite of all those experts working for the last 30 years, I am the only one focused on the state responsibility. And I've challenged those five federal agencies one at a time. The presidents of those agencies know about me. I just sent a seven-page report to the head of CMS, Medicare, Medicaid. Hadn't heard from them yet. I made an offer to Governor Haley when she was first elected governor of South Carolina in 2011. I said, I can give you a detailed picture of your state's health care delivery system. She had just published a book entitled Canada's Not an Option. But all she could tell me is, I can't do that. And I don't know why. So I'm hoping this new governor, new lieutenant governor, will allow me to do that in South Carolina.
Okay, so getting back to the question, why is our health care system broken?
Well, you got to separate the two. The how to pay for it is broken because Congress has been mucking it up since 1965. They needed to do something then. The problem is Congress, only thing they know how to do is make things worse. But the delivery system, no one has focused on each state's responsibility. And so our delivery system has evolved in a haphazard manner with no one overseeing it. If you look at the state level, every state is constantly talking about how to improve education, which is important. But unless you're a teacher or a professor, most people are only impacted by formal education early in their lives. The healthcare delivery system will impact every living person from the first breath to the last breath. You can't escape it, plus those yet unborn. And yet nobody talks about that. And I can't understand why no one gives my book consideration, except that the only thing I can come up with is that all those experts who have been talking for the last three decades on how they were going to improve the healthcare delivery system, they don't want to admit that they have failed to look at the state responsibility. And that's the only thing I can figure that they ignore. What I'm trying to say is, they don't want to admit that the key way to improve the delivery system is at the state level.
Okay, so you're saying that the federal government doesn't have a responsibility to help with the health care delivery system.
Well, they don't know. Yeah, they don't. The 10th Amendment says that states have some responsibilities. Federal government doesn't have a responsibility over everything. Unfortunately, Congress will overstep that periodically when they shouldn't. And the states, the governors and legislators keep kicking that can down the road because they don't want to face the consequences of dealing with something really big. But I can go into any state and show them how they have completely failed on creating an effective health care delivery system.
Well,
and it would be fairly simple to do.
Yeah, let's talk about the difference between the federal delivery system and the state delivery system. I'm a veteran, and I go to the Asheville VA hospital, which I think is excellent. And having a background as a doctor, I know a lot about healthcare delivery, and I think that they do a real good job. If so many people are being needlessly killed in hospitals, I don't think it would be in the VA hospital, which is a federal hospital.
Well, let me take you to that question. You know, there's video evidence at the National Academy of Medicine where in July of 2017, I challenged a room full of experts in the morning in the first Q&A, in the mid-afternoon in the second Q&A. And in the National Academy of Medicine, a few blocks from the White House, has a video of this all-day meeting and of me challenging them. And one of the things I said in the morning, I said, there's not a single person in this nation who knows whether medical errors are the third leading cause or the fifth leading cause or the seventh leading cause or the ninth leading cause or what, for this reason. If people are needlessly dying in hospitals, who should know? Each state. Because each state, you have to assume, is contributing to that national total. And yet there's not a state in the nation that has the slightest idea how many people are needlessly dying in their state's hospital. And because they don't have an effective system that can come even close to determining. And this is where things get scary, and this is what the quality of care experts don't want to talk about. None of those five federal agencies have ever focused on the state responsibility, and I've challenged almost every one of them, and they all they say is they're doing what they're doing, and they keep doing what they're doing. Is they're demonstrating Einstein's definition of insanity. They keep doing things the same way over and over for decades while seeking a different result.
So would I be correct in assuming that your position is that of these probably well over 100,000 needless deaths in hospitals that practically all or all of them are the result of medical malpractice?
No. In fact, I am a member of a fairly young organization called the Society to Improve Diagnosis in Medicine. And they have said 30 to 40% of those deaths are due to misdiagnosis. And then you've got medication failures in medication, and you've got, you know, so there's multiple categories that these deaths would fall into. But the problem is each state should have some idea of you know, how many are in their state. And there's not a state in the nation has the slightest clue.
Okay, well, let's turn then to the solution of the problem. What is the solution?
Well, the only solution you'll ever get is, you know, if I could ever be allowed. See, if Haley had let me do what I wanted to do in South Carolina, that would have been the role model for other states. So if one state would invite me to come in and create, and I can show them how it's a logical and doable process, that is, it's so easy and could be done, if given sufficient delegated authority, could be done fairly rapidly. I could do it with a very small staff. And it wouldn't have to be money out of the state budget. I know how to fund it. And I know how to go about it precisely. And it, to give them the first thing, you've got to ask and answer the question, where are we now and how did we get here? That means you've got to create a detailed picture of that state's current delivery system. It's like taking a selfie. You want to take create a picture of, you identify each component that contributes to that state's delivery system, and you create a detailed picture. What do they do? How do they do it? What can't they do in the efforts to improve the quality of care and patient safety? That's all. Nothing else. You don't ask anything else, sir. What do they do in their efforts to contribute to the efforts to improve the quality of care and patient safety? And when you get a picture of, and some of those components are out of state, like the Joint Commission, DND Healthcare, QIOs, and so forth, you've got to identify every component that contributes. And then you've got to, when, excuse me just a minute, I've got to, Bob? Oh, Wynn, excuse the interruption. My friend Bob was calling me. We've been associated since I wrote my first book in 04, and we're putting together a process to rebuild a rural hospital in South Carolina, southeast of the capital of Columbia, that was lost in the flooding last year. And he's been the point man and pulling all the people and all the various things together. And he was just calling me on my cell phone.
Okay.
So I just had to interrupt to tell him to call me back in a few minutes.
Okay, let's get back to your mission.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so to the first thing you've got to do for any state is to understand in detail where are we now and how do we get here. And that, you do that by creating a detailed picture of the current system, by identifying each component and looking closely at how they do what they do in the efforts to improve just the quality of care and patient safety. Nothing else. Find out what they do, how do they do it, what can't they do, what would they like to do, and so forth. And when you, it's like a big group picture, but in detail. And once you get that, then you present it to the governor and the legislature and say, here's where you are. You need to assess that and decide, is it acceptable? And trust me, it's not going to be. And that's when you decide phase three to create a big tent. When President Kennedy in 61 or 2 said, America should be the first man to walk on the moon and return safely, they created a big tent, and they brought in a lot of experts. Well, phase three of my process, a state, once they assess their current system and see it's not effective, it's not doing what it needs to do, and they've got to create a new one, you create a big tent, you invite a bunch of experts, and I want to be the first one to lay out my plan for a 21st century healthcare delivery system at the state level.
taken over by all the states. How many of these, I think the figure was now 200,000 needless deaths, how many of those would be preventable?
Oh, a great deal. A great, if you had a 21st century healthcare delivery system that had a means to effectively understand what's going on, where it's going on, and everything, then you can address these issues. Right now, they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue about anything.
Well, you told me when we were talking previously that a role model for what you're talking about in your book, Healthcare Warriors, which is available now as an e-book, would be Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or MAD. You want to explain that a little bit?
Yeah. See, here's the thing. Let's say a governor allowed me to lay out what I just described. I got a detailed picture. I gave it to them. The governor legislator assessed it, and then they had to start creating a big one. You're always going to have obstructionist people being against things. And one of the things that would help a governor and a legislature would have a grassroots support. And that would be from people, the healthcare warriors. I would like to show them how to become effective so they would know as much about the current system. They would know more than any legislator or the governor. I could show them how to rapidly know far more than any other person in their state. And then they could be the grassroots support for positive change. So the healthcare warriors go hand in hand with what I want to do with the governor and the legislature.
Okay. So you have an audience today, and why don't you tell them what you would like to see accomplished
if I could get in front of a fairly sizable audience. I assume it would be primarily women, but gender is, you know, not a problem, who think they would like to consider becoming game changers for their and their loved ones' healthcare system. If I could get in front of that audience for enough time, I'd blow their minds. I would show them how they could rapidly become effective and how they could shortly come to know far more about their state's healthcare delivery system than anybody in their state capital.
Okay. So you would like somebody that's listening today to help you set that up?
Yes. I'd love to get in front of a group of people who wanted to say, hey, particularly the ones who've had, they or a loved one, who's fallen through the cracks in the system. You know, the people who say, hey, I've got an aunt or an uncle or a sister or a brother. I know the system doesn't work as well as it should. Well, try to get some friends and start, with the internet and everything, you can reach people throughout the state. And if they want to come together, and they don't have to rent an auditorium, they could try to find a church with an adjacent building they use for meetings or something. Just any kind of room with enough space. If I got 100 to 200 people in the same room, in the same state, I tell you, I'd tell them things to get them so excited they wouldn't believe it.
Okay, so how does anyone who is listening today contact you to talk with you about getting this accomplished?
My website is findtheblackbox.org or .com. My email is Dr. Ira Williams, D-R-I-R-A Williams, @gmail.com. And all they got to do is get in touch with me. And I'm just looking for people who are interested and who want to become game changers where they live.
Okay. Now
I promise them it is so doable. They will be amazed.
Okay. So you said Find the Black Box, which is your third book, I believe.
Yes.
That they could get and read, and it's available on Amazon, right?
Yeah, the e-book is only $3.99 if they do e-books. The price of the soft cover is much too high. I don't know who set the price on the getting the soft cover, but if someone wants to be an organizer, if they connect me on email, I'll send them a book. If they want a book, but if they can use e-books, Find the Black Boxes, I think $3.99 is an e-book.
Okay.
So
let me ask you, I know what a black box is, and I know what it does with respect to pilot error and mechanical error in jet aircraft. So what's the correlation? They don't have any black boxes in the hospital.
No, and in the first chapter, I've got 2 one-page diagrams on the black box. And I use MAD. I said, MAD, when they go to the legislature and they demand improvements in DUI laws, they force the legislature to find the black box that has the DUI laws regulatory mechanism. And they make them take it out and rewrite some of the things in that mechanism. So on the next page, I said, all right, you've got, South Carolina has 3 healthcare agencies, one that handles Medicaid, one that handles hospitals, and the examining board. The examining board's probably sitting on the black box that has the regulatory mechanisms for doctor's offices, hospital medical staffs, and surgery centers. And I said, you got to force somebody in the state to find that black box and look for the regulatory mechanism that's supposed to regulate the practice of medicine. And if they ever find the box and open it up, they're going to say, oh, my God, there ain't nothing here, or it's full of cobwebs, or we don't have a regulatory mechanism for the practice of medicine or dentistry. I'm a dentist. I'm a board-certified oral surgeon. My degree is DDS. But we don't have a regulatory mechanism for medicine or dentistry, and never have.
Okay.
And by the way, Wynn, I'm in the process of writing my next book.
What's the title going to be? Have you titled it yet?
The 3 Steps to Modern Medicine and the Men Who Made Them. So it's medical history.
I see. Okay.
I ordered the books through Google, and I'm working my way through a 500-page book. If it comes together, it's winter. I just thought I'd see if I could pull together a book. I think I've got an idea on putting something together I think would be worthwhile.
Okay.
So I just started it, and I'll see where it takes me.
All right. Well,
but
you made a good plea.
I'm active in healthcare every day.
Yeah. You've made a good plea today for activism for changing the healthcare delivery system regulatory laws to help.
I hope so, because we really need it. There are people who are needlessly dying or being harmed, and we deserve a better system. And I know how to begin to get that ball rolling.
So for the people who came in late to this, go over the analogy of the number of needless deaths in our country
okay.
today what it would be in relationship to aircraft accident.
Yeah, 1990, after 4 years of research by a group of Harvard School of Public Health experts led by two doctors in upstate New York hospitals, after 4 years, they estimated 98,000 needless hospital deaths annually. That's the equivalent of a fully loaded 747 crashing each day, every day for a year. And that number, 10 years later, was used by the Institute of Medicine to write The Air is Human. One of the two doctors leading the 1990 study was on one of those two committees, and they said, oh, we have everything we need to reduce that 98,000 figure by 50% in 5 years. They lied. Because every new estimate since 2000 has been far greater than the 98,000. And so after 29 years, things aren't getting better, they're getting worse. And yet we've got five federal agencies that were created to improve the quality of care and patient safety, and those five agencies have a cumulative history of over 130 years. And all they've focused on is how to do things, but they've never focused on the state responsibility. And that's where the delivery system must be changed. That's where you have to go to, you have to go down to where the doctors and the patients are.
Okay.
And the basic unit of all medical care is one doctor, one patient.
Right.
And that's the state responsibility because each state licensed that doctor.
Right. And so in your estimation, what we're talking about today, a reasonable figure of people who go into hospitals and die needlessly is around 200,000 people a year?
Yeah, well, the latest estimate was far greater than that.
What was it?
But see, these are estimates. And what troubles me, no one has the slightest idea because no one in any one state has the slightest idea, and I don't think they want to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a lot of people.
Well, and let me tell you something else that's scary. There was a, when the last estimate came out in 2013, in September, the guy, you know, published his work. The same month, they had another report where three of the top experts said they agreed with his estimate, but at the bottom of this report, and this is something I am the only one in the country talking about, the American Hospital Association spokesperson says, oh, we still accept the 98,000 from 1990. Who should know? Your state hospital associations should have some idea. They don't want to know. It scares them to death. They don't want to know what it is.
Yeah.
And so if you look at that, and I do, you've got to think, you know, doesn't anybody care?
Well, really happy that you came on the show today to try to help educate the people who are listening to the fact that we've got a significant problem and you have a solution for it, and that they should either get a copy of your book or go to your website or email you to get to be an activist in this movement.
Well, particularly, you know, if someone wants to be a game changer where they live, I can show them how to really become effective quick.
Okay.
It's, you know, there's just going to have to be enough of them to create something like MAD. You know, I think MAD's in every state. So I think the first thing they